Who was your biggest surprise player this year that came out of the woodworks or did better than you expected?
The team that surprised me, I would say, would be Penn State. Just putting all the new guys together, having a new coach, and just you only return 5% of your minutes,
right,
or your scoring or whatever, and then you cut about 4.8% of that when you take off Kanye Cleary. So, and still be able to win games after that, compete at the highest level, ace ball and defensive player of the year. I thought Nick Kern really exploded, became one of the Big Ten favorites toward the end of the year, just the way to play hard. And then Zach Hicks, he started to make shots, and then it just started to rock. So I think Penn State was a good surprise. Mike Rose, I think he'd be a good coach in the Happy Valley. So
it's gone. Miles Tredd becomes the 38th player in the history of Nicolai basketball to go over 1,000 career points.
What's up, everybody? It's Miles Dredd, host of the Heat Check, presented by State Media. Super excited to have you guys on the show. We're going to have weekly episodes with former Penn State basketball players and other hoopers across the Big Ten. Check us out on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. And don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. We really appreciate you guys' support. Enjoy the show.
College football tees, college basketball tees, whatever you need, Mercury has you covered with the best merch out there. We're talking about high-quality clothing, inexpensive, and the best part is I have a 15% discount for everybody who goes and gets some right now. Use the code below, hit the link in the description, and go get your merch now. Use the code to get 15% off. What are you waiting on? Go do it.
Welcome back to the newest episode of the Heat Check. It's your host, Miles Dredd, and I have an extremely special guest to me, like, dude, this is my guy right here. You know, he's been a great role model for me, especially trying to navigate, you know, trying to find my way into the media world. You got my guy, Rafael Davis. You got
appreciate former
Purdue wing, former Big Ten player of the year, defensive player of the year in 2015. What's up, big dog? What's going on with you?
What's good with you, man? I'm happy to be out here with you. I'm happy you're doing this.
Yeah, this is... It's been so fun, and, you know, you're one of the people who kind of inspired me to take this journey, and I really appreciate you for that. I want to jump right into it. We had a hell of a season this year, man, just nationally, but even with the Big Ten, so many ups and downs, so many changes. You know, what was your biggest surprise? I'm going to ask you three different things. So who was your biggest surprise player this year that came out of the woodworks or did better than you expected or worse than you expected?
Oh, I would say, it's a good question. I would say did better than I expected would be somebody like Cam Christie. I mean, I knew he was good coming out of high school. I know one of my guys that I played with coached him when he was young with the Illinois Wolves and all that stuff. So I knew he was talented. And then obviously, you know, Max obviously was talented at Michigan State. So I just didn't know how smooth his game was. I couldn't say I saw him coming in this season being one and done, being projected first round pick. So I would say, and then also being a freshman, normally freshmen that have to produce early, it doesn't affect winning all the time, man. Minnesota, I know Dawson was good. I know Elijah Hawkins was good, but he was that third piece to that tandem. And sometimes he was the first or second option. So I would say Christie, the explosion of him. I can remember being in the green room, man. One of our producers, I'm going back and forth with him, telling him he an NBA guy, and he didn't see it. And then at the end of the season, Cam Christie hit the draft boards and he sent it to me. So, and then on the flip side of that, I would say Clifford Moore surprised me this season. He struggled. I thought he was going to take a step. I thought he was going to be a guy that could have been the second best big in the conference. I didn't see the additions to his game. I didn't see him really take a step, especially in a team that was losing, that was struggling, being the older guy. So those two players surprised me. And then the team that surprised me, I would say, would be Penn State. Just putting all the new guys together, having a new coach, and just that's just a lot. And then Kyver Coach, I mean, shit. You only return 5% of your minutes,
right,
or your scoring or whatever, and then you cut about 4.8% of that when you take off Kanye Cleary. So, and still be able to win games after that, compete at the highest level, ace ball and defensive player of the year. I thought Nick Kern really exploded, became one of the Big Ten favorites toward the end of the year, just the way to play hard. And then Zach Hicks, he started to make shots, and then it was just, it just started to rock. So I think Penn State was a good surprise. Mike Rose, I think he'd be a good coach in the Happy Valley. So I think those three would be my players and coaches and teams.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I honestly agree with you. Cliff would have been the one that surprised me this season because I've been the guy to guard Cliff, and I know how talented and how physically imposing he is. So I definitely agree with you there. The person that surprised me, honestly, was Terrence Shannon. Like, we all know how talented he is, but to be able to deal with everything going on and still be able to put together one of the best seasons out of all the players in the Big Ten, like, that's impressive. To miss that much of the season and still be able to be on an all-Big Ten first-team level talent, like, that's impressive.
That's crazy. No, yeah, it make you realize that when you think about Coach Mike Woodson, when he missed half the Big Ten year or whatever, and he still was player of the year in the league.
Yeah.
Just think about how good he had to be.
Yeah.
So, no, I think Terrence Shannon, I think Illinois, they found a way to put it together at the end, and then they had a special season. They got to get to the Elite Eight. I got to win a lot of games. Got to win the Big Ten tournament. So I think once they hit their stride, it started to really work out for them.
Yeah. So then, speaking of the Elite Eight and the NCAA tournament, why do you believe that the Big Ten recently hasn't had the success in the NCAA tournament that everybody normally expects them to have? Like, in my five-year tenure, we had five or six teams in the top 25, sometimes even seven. And you get to NCAA tournament, and it's just not finding the same success that they do in the regular season. So what, in your opinion, what do you believe is the reason for that?
It's guard play. I mean, you get in the Big Ten, it's been about bigs. Ever since I left, I remember I lived. And I could blame a little bit on Purdue, on paint, in that you got A.J. Hammonds. A.J. Hammonds wasn't necessarily just a dominant big, but he bring Isaac Haas and the Biggie, and then the league just went big. The league went big when you think of Hunter, you think of Drake Jackson Davis, you think of a time where it was throw the ball inside. And in order to compete in the Big Ten, you had to be big and strong and old and physical, and just to be able to compete and win enough games to get to the tournament, you know what I mean? So, your team almost didn't make the tournament. Y'all had to make a run at the end of the season. But then you think about it, y'all got a tournament, y'all won games, but other teams didn't because y'all had guard play. And right. That's what the tournament is about. And I think I go back to my four years, we had teams in the Sweet 16 three out of 4 years. Final Four, I'm tripping. Final Four, 3 of the 4 years. I think it was one of those years, it was two teams in the Final Four, three teams in the Elite Eight or something like that. So yeah. I think the guard play back then, though, was really strong. That's when the guards dominate the league. That's when you had, my freshman year, you had Trey Burke in Michigan and Tim Hardaway, Nick Stauskas and those dudes, Caris LeVert, like that whole team with NBA guys. And then you think about, but also that season you had IU with Victor Oladipo and those dudes and going to the Sweet 16. You had just immaculate guard play. Michigan State was good that year. My sophomore year, it was, I think Michigan State went to Elite Eight. I mean, you had Gary Harris. You had Keith Appling. You had Travis Trice, Denzel Valentine coming off the bench. I mean, who went to the Final Four that year? Sophomore year, Wisconsin went to the Final Four. Jordan Taylor. So, I mean, Trayvon Jackson, I mean. So, you got Frank Kaminsky was coming into his own. You just always had really good guard play. That was a year Aaron Kraft in Ohio State went to the Elite Eight. And then my junior year, you get Wisconsin again, obviously, with Bronson and Trayvon and Sam Decker and Frank. And then you get that year, you also get Michigan State with Denzel, Travis, you know what I mean, and those dudes. So I think when you got really good guard play, you got old guys, you got athletic freshmen, I think that helps get in the tournament. You look at Purdue right now compared to last season, Zach Edey was National Player of the Year, obviously. They're number one team in the country, but they didn't have another all-conference guy on that team. Like, right. Brandon Smith, Fletcher Lurie, they didn't make an all-conference team. So you look compared to this season, Purdue's in the Final Four. Well, now you look at it, Brandon Smith is the honorable mention All-American. So, like, when you got really solid guard play in March, it helps you because the game slow down. That's what hurt Illinois against Connecticut. Connecticut goes on that 30-0 run. Illinois didn't have a point guard to calm them down. So I think when you guards win in March, and then you got to have some pros, and then some things got to go your way as far as matchups.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not the common misconception that teams get to the tournament from the Big Ten and they're just tired because we just beat each other up all season.
No. Like the ACC is tough. Like you look at the NC State finished like ninth in the ACC. They get to the tournament, they run to the tournament. So I mean, like, it's just you look at any team that's won a national championship, and you show me that they didn't have an All-American level guard or a pro level guard, I'd be shocked. Or you show me a team that's won a national championship that they have at least two, maybe three NBA level guys or high level overseas guys, you can't show me one.
Yeah, no, it's just nah, not, love, it's just there's not a lot there. Of great coaches out there. Ain't nobody that good of a coach.
You can get even like FAU. You look at FAU last season. Like John L. Davis is an All American level guard.
Yeah,
you know I mean he's a pro level guard. Mm-hmm. Like you look at the 7 foot big fella. He's gonna be go over. You know what I mean, they got guys. So you coaching is important, but when you get to some point, it's about the Jimmys and the Jones, man. It's about the dudes out there hooping.
There's a new era in the Big Ten, Ray. New season coming up, a lot of new teams that a lot of Big Ten fans are obviously familiar with the name, but their brand of basketball and, you know, all of that stuff. What do you think? Are you excited about this? Or do you think you have any challenges that you foresee in the future about these new teams coming in and the whole everything, the travel, the new, the recruiting, like all of this stuff that plays into now you have a literal East Coast to West Coast spectrum of guys that you can go grab. Now, there's very few teams in the Big Ten that go get guys from Seattle, Washington, and Las Vegas, Nevada, and L.A., right? But now that's an area that people kind of have to go recruit now.
I think it's going to be fun. I think one of my guys, actually, this season, Keon Brooks Jr., he played at Washington. So I watched him a bunch. I got to see, I know it's a different coach, but just see kind of the vibe of the athleticism of the West Coast teams. And you get to, obviously, Mick Cronin, it's kind of like a Midwestern kind of coach, Cincinnati kind of like. He's going to be kind of, you will see what happens. I'm interested to see what's happening at UCLA because they got to get some guys in there. So that's going to be interesting. Obviously, USC, but I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be interesting for teams like Maryland, Rutgers, Penn State, and that travel aspect going West Coast, East Coast, how they do the scheduling and having like a travel buddy and all that stuff. But I think it's another step in the line of just the super conferences. Being able to play the best teams every night, I hope that's what you want when you play high-major basketball. You don't want to be the school 97-12. You know what I mean? Like that. Like practice is harder than that. Like, you want to be able to play competition. You want to be able to go out there from November to April and hoop.
Right.
So I think it's only gonna make the league better. I think it's gonna make the talent pool better. It's gonna force coaches to recruit at a higher level because now USC, UCLA, I mean Washington, Oregon. They bring in pros. I mean, you look at some of the guys, like a guy like Kwame Evans with Oregon, like that guy's a pro. Like he's a freshman now, but he's going to be a pro to me. So I think you look around the conference and hope that may spruce things up, that may open things up, but I'm just excited for it. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think the teams that win, though, I mean, at this point in the game, you got to be good in the portal. You got to be good in the fifth-year grad space, and you got to be good in the NIL space. You see like what's happening with like what happened with Minnesota after the season. I mean, you gotta nowadays your NIL has gotta be there. And if it's not, it's gonna hurt you.
No doubt. The biggest fear for me, the biggest challenge, isn't necessarily like you said, Maryland, Rutgers, Penn State traveling from east to west. I think it's the West Coast guys traveling from west to east because we're more all over here, and those are 4 and 5.
Right.
Like that's you get into the thick of the Big Ten season. That's like an NBA schedule almost. Like
you heard what Cameron Brink said about being happy about now, I mean, going pro, whatever, because you won't have to travel back and forth, because Stanford was in ACC or whatever, yeah. So she doesn't have to go back and forth across the country. She said she was tired of that. So
yeah.
It's a thing where you just, it's about money nowadays, and that was going to make the most money. Whatever makes the most money, make the most sense. So.
Understood. Well, I would be remiss if I didn't try to ask you, because you are former Defensive Player of the Year. I prided myself on the defensive end, guarding bigger guys. You know, playing defense in the Big Ten, you kind of have to have a certain toughness about you, especially to get to an all-defensive team, Defensive Player of the Year level talent. Who in your mind is your all-time Big Ten all-defensive team?
All right, man. So I go dudes I put my eyes on. I do dudes that, because you got like Bardo and certain dudes that you can see tape, you can hear about, but like right. I go with dudes that actually sing. I go, I start with AJ Hammonds with a rim protection. He was elite. Brock hands, both hands, left hand, right hand. I mean, only reason I won Defensive Player of the Year today, then block a shot. And then you got, I put Greg Golden in there. So I put two of both of them in there. Because AJ could shoot threes. If he could have. He just, man. AJ could have been one of the best players people ever seen. But you got AJ and Greg Golden. Who was a really good defender? I'm putting me on that team.
Oh, you got to be on that team, right?
Me on that team. I want to really think about this. I need a ball disruptor. I'm putting Ace Baldwin on that team.
Okay.
Need a guard. I'm trying to make a real team.
Yep.
Need a guard. I need a guard. That's good. I'm not in the. Give me Kenny Lowe from Purdue.
Wow.
2002. Back to back Defensive Player of the Year.
Okay.
Back to back.
I'm not mad.
Kenny Lowe was back. And that was a time where, I mean, you look at it, that's Jason Richardson at Michigan State. That's Darren Williams and them at Illinois. I mean, that's when the league, that's Percy Wright and them at Indiana, they went to the Final Four.
Yeah.
I think, that's when the league was thick, too. So yeah. I think I'll put, you get back-to-back Defensive Player of the Year, you got to be on that team.
I'm with you on that. He wasn't on my list, but that might make me change my list in the future for sure. So my list, I got Aaron Kraft running my one, Victor Oladipo at the two.
Tough.
I put you at my three. I did.
All right on.
I put Greg Golden at my five.
Uh huh.
And then at the four, I had to give Penn State some love, so I put my guy Calvin Booth at the four. I'm gonna just have two.
I respect that.
Put two bigs
up there,
block everything. My guards are going to funnel everything into the paint.
Oh, no doubt.
We're going to send it right back out and start this fast break up.
No, that's a good team for Chuck. So I can't argue that at all.
Yeah.
That's solid. Because Depot was so nasty. Like, he get that arm on you, just not going to move.
That's my whole head. I didn't realize how good he was until I saw it, not on TV in person, but like, up close and personal, I was like, oh, okay.
He got it. Yeah, he different for sure. Yeah.
So now, speaking of all-time Big Ten, now we're just going to open it up fully. I need your starting five all-time in the Big Ten. Best starting five that you can create all-time.
I give you two. I give you people that I didn't see and give you people that I did see.
Okay.
I'll give you and match up, and they can match up on it. I'll give you Magic Johnson, Big Dog, Calvert Chaney, Chris Webber, Big Dog, Magic Johnson, Chris Webber, Calvert Chaney. I need a shooter. Give me, my man from Michigan, Glenn Rice. You give me Glenn Rice.
Mm.
That's tough. that's tough. Oh, wait, no, I'm tripping.
Yeah, you are.
So, I'm going to give you three teams.
Okay.
People I didn't see, people I seen, and the people I played against. So, those are people I didn't see. That's the five I didn't see. People I saw coming up, I would go Darren Williams on my team. You know what? I'm just taking the Illinois whole backcourt.
Darren Williams, D. Brown, Luther Head.
I'm taking all three of them. All three of them on my team. That's okay. My whole backcourt.
Okay.
And then I'm taking Greg Oden as my five. See, now I'm taking Luther Head on my five, and I'm putting Evan Turner in there. So give me Evan Turner, Darren Williams, Greg Oden,
D. Brown.
Give me each one more. Take a D. Brown out now. Give me each one more.
Okay.
Because I want each one more. That's just my guy. And that's my favorite player, too. And give me, D. Brown. I'm too small. Take D. Brown out and put in a, this is crazy. Put in my fifth. I ain't gonna rush this. Put him by fifth. I'm gonna go Juwan Johnson.
Okay. I'm not mad at that.
I wanted all three guards though for Illinois.
Yeah.
And then from who I played against, I'll say my ear, I go, man, that's tough. I probably played in the best era ever in the Big Ten, I say. Mm. I'm gonna give you two of every position and I'm gonna see if you can argue. Give me Yogi and Trey Burke as my ones.
As college players.
We're just doing this as college players,
not how they were as pros. Okay, all right.
Pros, college players. Just college. In their college. Give me both of them. Both All-Americans. Both two of the best point guards that have come through the Big Ten. I mean, give me both of them for sure. My two. Ooh, that's tough. Because you could give me at the two, you could give me Victor Oladipo and Tim Hardaway, or you give me Caris LeVert and Nostauskas, or you could give me James Blackman Jr. and DJ Nubel.
DJ was a problem. DJ.
And then my three. You give me Duncan Robinson, Nostauskas, or except you give me Duncan Robinson, Nostauskas, Jaren Petway. Oh man, there's a problem in that. Oh man, the four you give me Frank Kaminsky. You give me Frank Kaminsky, Deshaun Thomas. At the five, you give me who we play against. You give me. The four, I forgot to mention Glenn Robinson the third. Jeez. At the dog, Michigan holds seven. The Michigan, my freshman year, they seven went to the league. And I just went to the league. All seven got drafted. Not that year, but throughout the course. And they give me AJ Hammonds in my five. And then, that's crazy. My era win, man. My era's so nasty. I don't know, man.
Like,
for what?
I don't think you're really thinking about my era as much.
Oh, I am. Give me your best five.
Actually, I'm gonna do my all-time five first.
All right, bet.
So I got Isaiah Thomas, Magic, Glenn Rice, C. Webb, and Big Dog.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay.
That's my five from all time. Going a little small, but I think we can make something.
I'm gonna remind you something. So look.
Go ahead.
No, you got it. Go ahead.
I was just about to do my phone.
Oh no, my thing had went out. You had lag. You good.
So from my era, like you did, I'm gonna do two of these positions. And you can kinda tell me what you think, right? So I gotta put Jalen Pickett on there. All American,
yeah.
Killer, Cassius Winston, issue. At the two spot, You got Carson Edwards.
Different.
And, oof, different. Oh, my God. And I'm going to put Terrence Shannon on there.
Okay.
Actually, no. I'm going to change that. I'm going to put Ayo Dosunmu as the other two.
Okay.
At the three, we got Lamar Stevens.
Problem.
And, well, really, I'm going to put Lamar in the four conversation. He's going to be at the four. So at the threes, we probably going to have to go with James Palmer as one of mine. And the threes are tough because I don't think we had any All-American threes.
That's what I'm saying, man. We had All-American threes. All the dudes I named is All-Americans.
Y'all ain't had no National Player of the Years, though. So that kind of year.
What you mean? Trey Burke and Frank Kaminsky.
My fault. I meant back-to-back. We have two back-to-backs.
Who?
Luka Garza, Zach Eady.
Oh, but that's the kind of basketball.
So that kind of evens it out a little bit.
No. Luka was an AP net back-to-back. It was like Sporting News back-to-back.
That's
like
what it was. Coaches. Okay, so my fault. He wasn't AP.
So, no, okay. We ain't giving him that. then you got to put Biggie in there. Biggie was first-team All-American. Biggie, he won the whatever war he
won. I thought he was between us. I didn't think he was your era, too.
No, he's my teammate.
He was your teammate?
All right, yeah, Biggie, man. Yeah, facts. Yeah, I don't know, man. That's tough. All right, hey, man. Trey Burke, not National Player of the Year.
So
that's the championship game.
If I gotta go with three, then I guess I'm gonna have to go with what are the tough threes that we have, man.
I think too. I'm gonna think. Yeah, man. Y'all might have been a little weak.
I feel like I'm missing somebody. Michigan.
That's your list. I'm gonna let you tell your list.
Indiana. He was a freshman. You could have said Romeo Langford, but he was a freshman. He ain't really do enough.
Romeo Langford was decent.
That. I'm going to just stick with that 1-3 then. I guess I got to, right? Yeah.
Tough out there, man.
No, I'm sorry. I'm tripping. Ron Harper. Problem.
Yeah, you're missing a couple now. I ain't helping you, but you're missing a couple.
Yeah, my fault, Ron. My fault. I had to check Ron. Ron's a problem. So who was I missing at the three spot?
I'm going to let you finish your list. You might put him somewhere else.
At the four, I'm going to put Lamar, and I'm going to put... Who had national success? I guess that would have to go like you could put Styx Smith on there. You could put Malik Hall. You could put
man, you missed a couple. You missed my favorite player,
Caleb Wesson.
You're missing the best one out of all them. You're missing the best four men that might have came through the Big Ten in the last 20 years.
Trace?
Uh-uh. I'm putting him in the five category. He played the five in college.
Me too. That's what I was putting him in at the five.
Keegan Murray.
Best? Whoa. And his brother's at the three.
Man.
That's my other three. The twins. One of the twins are at the three and the four. You can pick. I don't care. And then the fives we talked about was Luka and Zach. Like, I love Trace, and Trace had an excellent stats, everything, with all that. Like, he had a hell of a college career. But they retired Luka's jersey on his senior night, like, after the game.
I feel.
And then Zach too. Of course. Yeah, like, he's just Like, people, I don't know if he is the best player to ever play at Purdue, but he's in the conversation.
He is. Like, it ain't no conversation no more. He is.
Really?
Big Dog was great. Big Dog was extremely talented, not taking that from me. But they both played in an Elite Eight game. Both of them played in an Elite Eight game. One of them had 40 and 16. One of them had 8 in the loss.
Well, there's your answer. From a Purdue guy.
You get
guy.
To certain levels.
From a Purdue guy.
That's what separated me.
I get it.
Like, I know Big Dog had, they say Big Dog had 1,000 in the season, whatever. But like Caitlin Clark got like 1,200 points right now in the season. Nobody care. And then like Zach Edey got 900 points and 450 rebounds. He probably going to end up with like 980 points. So like, come on. Mm. And the more games you play, the less your average will be. It's like a lot of skews that people play with them numbers. Yeah. But Big Dog was a problem, no doubt. No one picking the draft. But you think about it too. The year Big Dog went number one in the draft, he wasn't Big Ten player of the year. Kyle Bertani was.
Mm.
So, is it really the best player in his own conference?
That you think it is?
I don't know, man. Hey, man. I'll go on
Zach. Okay. So, we got our all Big Ten teams. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you for your all-time Purdue team.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm going Zach Edey. I'm going Etuan Moore. I'm going Big Dog. I'm going 1, 2, 3. I'm going Lewis Jackson at my point, and Vince Edwards. Mm. No. I got Big Dog. I can't go Vince. I go Zach, Big Dog, Etuan. Oh, give me 3. Give me Carson.
I was just about to say. I'm like, wow. I don't know if you can leave him off the list, bro.
Carson, straight up, man. That's my 5, no doubt.
Okay, so I'm going to give you my Penn State all-time 5. Because this was a lot tougher than I thought it was as I did it. Because you have to choose at the guard spots. Like, and people are going to get their feelings hurt. Because there's dudes that are here. So you really just got to go by preference. So... at my 1, I'm going to probably take Jalen Pickett. Mm-hmm. At my 2, I'm going to go small and take Taylor Battle.
Facts.
At the 3, I'm going to continue to go small, and I'm going to put DJ Newbill. And I'm going to just have a small 3. Then I think, personally, I have to put Lamar Stevens at the 4. To, one, give us some size, but also give us some toughness and athleticism at the rim. And then at the 5, a lot of people don't understand how much difference of a difference maker Mike Watkins was in the game.
Yeah, facts.
But then I also understand how good Calvin Booth was.
Calvin Booth was good.
So
that's real.
Because I played with Big Fella, I'm gonna put Mike in there. But it's not for any lack of respect for Calvin, because I know Calvin was an issue for sure.
Facts. Well, that's real.
Yeah, but Big Fella.
That's a good 5.
I appreciate you so much for hopping on. This has been absolutely great. Your knowledge of the game is one of the best in the world right now. The way you analyze the game, the way you articulate the game and explain it to the people. You know, you're one of my role models in the broadcast space. So I definitely appreciate you hopping on and taking your time on this beautiful Sunday.
No, I appreciate you having me on, bro. I appreciate what you're doing. Keep it going, no doubt. Anytime you need.
Yes, sir. This is the latest episode of the Heat Check. I'm going to see you guys next week. Peace.
What's up, everybody? Hope you enjoyed this episode of The Heat Check. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe so we can continue to have big-time guests and create great content for you guys. And if you haven't yet, check us out on social media in the links below. Really appreciate you guys' support. We'll see you next week.